College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to get in an early rhythm for Daniels. Robinson on second and one. He's got the first down and more at the 20, 10, 5, touchdown! Brian Robinson!
To just get downhill. You know, Brian Robinson Jr. didn't have like an overwhelming number of explosive runs in 2024. But that was certainly one of them. He had a 40-yard run early in the season against Arizona, and then had that 40-yard run in early December, early in the game against the Titans, that gave him a 7-0 lead. They went on to win that game easily, 42-19. And for him, it was one of his better days of the season. Good morning. The news from over the weekend, Washington has let teams know that Brian Robinson Jr. is available for trade. Ben Standing nailed it. Told us last week that he had a hunch, not a report, not information, which is even better, but an observational, common sense-ish hunch that Robinson Jr. might not be on the roster week one. Now, that hunch turned out to be spot on, even if Robinson Jr. ends up on the roster week one, because that was what we call in the trade sniffing one out. You're not going to get much back for him, I don't think. A sixth rounder, perhaps. The contract, you know, slash cap savings, $3.4 million, not peanuts if they move on from him. But it's also not like they're super desperate to clear room, although they could use a little more. They're at $17.2 million in available cap space. That's down to 25th in the league per spot rack. But again, what are they going to get back for Brian Robinson Jr.? A sixth rounder, projected sixth rounder, maybe even a conditional sixth or seventh for the running back that's been inconsistent throughout his career since being drafted in 2022 and not always available and 100%. What does this say about this development? You know, what does it say about what they're thinking? That's what I'd like to sort of, you know, take under our wing here in the opening segment of the show. A show that will include, by the way, Steve Sands at 11. Did you see Scotty Scheffler's shot at the BMW at Caves Valley yesterday on 17? Sands will talk some football with us as well, certainly about his favorite team at 11. 11:35, Ben Baby, who covers the Bengals for ESPN, will be our guest. There are some developments in Cincinnati as it relates to their very, very valuable pass-rushing defensive end, Trey Hendrickson, and whether or not they are actually actively shopping him again. Is Washington interested? I don't think so at this point. I don't think so. I think they would have been at a certain point, but not now. So Ben Baby will join us at 11:35, and then Ben Standing will join us and take a bow, although he will be reluctant to do so at 12. But what does this say about what they're thinking as it relates to Brian Robinson Jr.? I'll get to that in a moment, and I want your thoughts as well. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Before that, there was a little bit of news this morning on Terry McLaurin from Adam Schefter. I don't think it's that much of an update from the moment they activated Terry off the PUP list. And that was a move that I think excited some and started some of those, you know, fan blogs and some of the other aggregators saying that a deal is imminent. No one in the know says a deal is imminent. Schefter this morning says that things are still status quo, quote, which means they are not close to a deal. Terry McLaurin still wants something north of the DK Metcalf deal. Schefter said that this morning. Washington thinks he's worth much less than that. Standoff continues despite the team taking him and activating him off the PUP list. So that is the news that I don't think is really a big update. It was Schefter's latest. We certainly saw a lot of people, including Ben, who is our insider on this show, talk about how, yes, they activated him, but this does not get, and all sources indicating that they are no closer to a deal. All right, so Brian Robinson Jr., what does making him available for trade, what does that mean in terms of how they are thinking about him and the running back situation? Because I think there are more, I think there's more than just one answer. I know what the answer will be for the majority of you, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you you're wrong, because I don't know what the answer is for sure. I have a hunch on what the answer is, but I don't know what it is for sure. But I think the answer from most of you will be, well, old Bill, Chikori Crosky-Merritt, has been so impressive to them. They've got the answer. They were looking for an answer in the offseason. They didn't go free agency. They could have gone Najee Harris. They could have gone Rico Dowdle. They could have gone Raheem Mostert. They didn't take a running back early in the draft. I thought all offseason leading up to the draft, because I talked about this when the season ended, that I thought Brian Robinson Jr. would be a casualty. I did not think that there would be a Brian Robinson Jr. on the roster in 2025, but I changed my mind when they didn't pick a running back in the first, you know, on night two or early day three, which is what I thought they would do. I thought they were going to answer that question with a draft pick from what was a loaded running back draft, either on night two or early day three. They didn't do that. They waited until the seventh round to take the running back, and I immediately changed my mind. I got off Brian Robinson Jr. not being on the roster and either being cut or an attempt to trade him, because I didn't think that they had addressed the need. Because seventh round picks don't make contributions in the NFL. I've mentioned this many times before. You are looking for a needle in a haystack, similar to Sam Howell when they selected him in the fifth round and everybody thought that was the answer. It's a needle in a haystack. One seventh round running back over the last 10 years has made an impact. Isaiah Pacheco in Kansas City. Every other one, either not in the league or just a special teamer or way down the list in terms of contributors. So maybe they found the needle in a haystack, and maybe only they know. Look, we can observe, you know, whether it is training camp practices, joint practice, the one that they had with the Patriots, the other one this week canceled with the Ravens, preseason opportunities. I mean, he was impressive against the Patriots, but he didn't put on a performance. Like, as an example, the guy that I love, Damian Martinez, the back that got drafted by Seattle, the performance he put on the other night in a preseason game. It's not like you have, you know, 10 carries for 50 yards to kind of hang your hat on. You know, it was 7 for 24. Now, I did like some of the vision and some of the cuts, and one big play did get called back by penalty. But they know, you know, they know if that's the reason Brian Robinson Jr. is available via trade. If that's the reason, the coaches know. You know, Kingsbury and Quinn and Peters, everybody can watch this. They've got a running backs coach in Anthony Lynn. Who knows? Is this guy it or isn't he it? Who cares where we took him? We liked him, we took him, and we were right about him. Is that what they're thinking? Is that the answer? I think that's the answer many of you will have, is that they've got their first down back in Crosky-Merritt. But there are other answers here. You know, there is the answer of, look, with Jaden at quarterback, all of our backs will benefit. Eckler was probably, when healthy, our most overall impactful back. Chris Rodriguez had some moments last year. As a runner, perhaps better, more consistent moments than even Brian Robinson Jr. And damn, do we love Jeremy McNichols. We love McNichols, not just as a special teamer. We like him as a back. Who knows? Maybe McNichols is the Jeremy Reeves offensive equivalent. Maybe they're seeing a bigger role for McNichols in the same way that I think they are seeing a bigger role for Jeremy Reeves on defense, not just a special teamer. Maybe they look at it and say, look, the committee, if it's not just Kroski Merritt, if they're not just sitting back saying, oh, we got a guy that has the vision, has the explosiveness, he's just flat out better than Brian Robinson Jr. Maybe they don't view him as a star, but they just view him as better than Brian Robinson Jr., cheaper than Brian Robinson Jr., a guy that's going to be on the roster in 2026 where Brian Robinson Jr. isn't, so why not try to move him? Maybe that's the answer. Maybe it's a by committee. Again, Kroski Merritt, McNichols, Rodriguez, Debo being involved, Eckler being involved, if he's healthy, in some first down situations. Maybe it is either McNichols or Rodriguez. They're like, they're both just as good as Brian Robinson Jr. Neither is under contract next year, but... Although, is Rodriguez? I forget what Rodriguez's situation is. I don't think they have a running back other than Kroski Merritt that's under contract after this year. What is it that they are thinking? 301-230-0980.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can inject what you hope they're thinking and whether or not you think this is a good idea or not. My hunch is this. I think that, and it's the reason that I thought, you know, after the loss to Philadelphia, when we started to talk about the offseason, and I wrote down and I've kept these notes, I've talked about what window number one, and it wasn't going to be the only window with Jaden, but window number one was Jaden's rookie deal and how they were going to address that in 2025. And I wrote six things, actually. Number one was culture continuation. They have to bring back guys like Wagner, Ertz, and even Mariota. I also wrote down Chin. They got rid of Chin. But I'm like, they have to keep that culture. These were free agents, remember. The culture continuation continues when you bring back culture guys like Wagner, Ertz, Mariota. Right, Terry already under contract, so I didn't need to write that one down. Plus, I had the assumption that they would sign Terry to a long-term deal. Number two was defense. And I wrote down, this was the Achilles heel and the reason the season ended one game short of the Super Bowl. Specifically, they need an edge-setting defensive end that can stop the run but can also rush the passer. We were looking for those guys in the first round of the draft. Number three for me, I wrote down, figure out corner and Lattimore. If there's a concern about him, culture fit-wise, playing-wise, you have to address corner. Don't ever fear cutting your losses before they lead to more losses. Well, Lattimore's still here, but they did take a corner early in this draft. They did. Four for me on the six things that I thought they needed to address in the offseason. O-line, they need, more likely than not, another left tackle. They address that in the draft, and they also address that in free agent with a trade for Laremy Tunsil. So Tunsil was really that answer. Connerly obviously going to start on the other side, but could be your future left tackle. Number five was another number two wide receiver and another running back to replace Brian Robinson Jr. as the primary first down back. They didn't necessarily do either of those things. And then I wrote down kicker. They need a new kicker. They did address that. So, again, I think what they've come to the conclusion on as it relates to this is they knew they had an issue at running back. They wanted to fix running back. It's very possible that they had running backs in mind in the draft earlier than Jacorey Crosky-Merritt, but they took the highest rated players on their board. You know, they took, instead of, you know, in the fourth round, who were the running backs that went in the fourth round? I got to pull it up, actually. But Jalen Lane was their highest rated player. Instead of a running back in the sixth round, they took Kane Medrano in the sixth round. Instead of Jacorey, and then Jacorey Crosky-Merritt ended up being the best running back in the seventh round. The running backs that went well in advance, I mean, taking away the Gentes, the Hamptons, and the Hendersons, because we thought there was a chance Henderson could be that guy. And even taking away the Judkins and the Caleb Johnsons. On fourth round, it started with Tootin from Virginia Tech, Scadaboo, Trevor Etienne. I loved Etienne before this draft. Marks, I liked Hunter from Auburn. He went in the fourth round. Sampson, Jordan James, Jaden Blue went in the fifth. DJ Giddens in the fifth. And then in the sixth, it was Gordon and then Devin Neal. Loved Devin Neal in this draft. Taj Brooks went in the sixth. Loved him. And then in the seventh, before Crosky-Merritt, Damian Martinez went to Seattle. He was my favorite of the sort of day three picks. He went later than we thought. I think later than a lot of people thought. And then Crosky-Merritt, after four more guys in the seventh round, was picked. So maybe they had others in mind, but they had Jalen Lane and Kadren and Medrano rated ahead of the backs who were on the board at that point. And they went with, at their last opportunity, a back that was the highest rated on the board. And they hoped. And now that they've had a chance to see him, maybe they feel like, hey, we got that right. My hunch is they like him a lot. They feel like, as coaches, and they see it a lot more than we do at this point in the year, clearly, this is a guy that they think might be able to work out. But the lack of experience, are you really going to line him up against the Giants? It's one of the positions you can do it. You can do it at running back. You know, you can put a seventh rounder, a fifth rounder out there day one if they're, you know, mature enough to handle the whole thing, which includes, obviously, pass protection. Maybe that's it. My hunch, though, is this is a situation in which they think Crosky-Merritt is not only better, but of more value than Brian Robinson Jr. So is Jeremy McNichols, in particular McNichols. I think they like him in the running game. He's very intelligent. He's obviously a factor on special teams. And with Debo and potentially even Rodriguez, I think they feel like they've got an opportunity by committee to address this until they realize, hopefully, that Crosky-Merritt is a lead back. That's what I think they're thinking, all of whom are much less expensive, with the exception of Debo, of course, but Debo's a weapon. I'm not saying Debo's going to take over Brian Robinson's carries. I'm saying, as part of a committee, you know, he's averaged 40 to 50 carries a year in the league with the 49ers, that it's a by committee, and they think all of those guys, you know, as standalones, as are every bit of Brian Robinson Jr. and more valuable with respect to not only the current cap situation, but the future, where Brian Robinson Jr. isn't going to be around. And now they can get something back for B-Rob. Not a lot, but a sixth rounder did produce Alfred Morris in 2012. So if they got back a sixth rounder for Brian Robinson Jr., remember, it's very possible nobody's interested in Brian Robinson Jr. You know, we always feel like everybody should be interested in our guys. It's not always the case. It's possible that they end up releasing him. I think tonight will be interesting because Crosky-Merritt with the shoulder, and why would you, if you are convinced that you got a guy that's every bit of you know, Brian Robinson Jr. or better, even if you don't think he's a star, why would you even risk him tonight? So I don't want to see him tonight because that would be an indication that they still need to see more. And I hope that they don't need to see more at this point. Brian Robinson Jr., third round pick 2022. So much for that trade back, chess checkers, Rivera and company against the Saints, where the Saints took Olave. Washington passed on a guy that would have been a star for them in Kyle Hamilton. Should have taken Kyle Hamilton at 11. They traded back. In the trade back, I didn't mind Jahan Dotson. I thought Dotson had a chance to be a good receiver. Did you see the Eagles traded for Mechie? Mechie certainly comfortable with Jalen Hurts. A lot of Bama guys in Philadelphia when you start to add them up. That could spell the end for Jahan Dotson in Philadelphia. But Dotson, Brian Robinson Jr., Sam Howell, and Cole Turner. That's why you can never judge a draft or a draft day trade in the moment or even in the first year. You just can't do it. You've got to wait 3 years. It's been 3 years. That was a terrible trade for Washington, a horrendous trade for Washington. They missed out on Kyle Hamilton, a Pro Bowler, future, all pro, consistent Pro Bowler at safety. Or they could have taken Olave, and Olave would have been a hell of a receiver. You know, he's had some injury issues here and there, but that's why, most will caution on draft day analysis, or even within the first year, a draft day analysis, as you just have to wait. Because that trade, a lot of our fans thought this was chess over checkers. This was fleecing of Philadelphia, of New Orleans. This was super smart. They got a starting running back, a starting quarterback for the future, and a starting, stretch the field wide receiver. And they didn't get any of those things. And New Orleans got Chris Olave. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Brian Robinson Jr., according to many reports, including our own Ben Standig, is, according to his sources, available for trade. What is the thinking among Washington brass? What are you thinking about this trade? I think they just have wanted to see Brian Robinson Jr. replaced. I didn't think they did enough to replace him in the moment through the draft. I certainly was an advocate of signing a Chubb or a J.K. Dobbins for, not a lot of money, very much an on-the-come deal, although they got a little bit more money than just on-the-come from the two teams they signed with. But I think they've wanted to replace him since the season ended, and I think they feel now they've seen enough of Bill, and they know everybody else, that they feel like they can do it by committee early with the expectation of being able to fill that spot with Jacory Kroski-Merritt, a.k.a. Bill Kroski-Merritt, at some point down the road. What do you think they're thinking? Not to mention the fact that because he's not going to be under contract next year, try to get something, all the while saving $3.4 million in not only cash outlay, but clearing it from your books for the 2025 cap as well, which, may help them in the Terry deal, which hasn't happened. 301-230-0980. Calls on that next.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.